Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast about the transformative and healing power of sex, pleasure, and embodied sexuality. I'm your host, Morgan Susan Taylor. I'm a sex therapist and specialist in women's sexuality and the founder of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I am passionate about normalizing the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and the spiritual. I created the Sex Talk Cafe as a place for you to learn from the experts in the field of somatic sex education, sex therapy, and sacred sexuality so that you can remove the mystery from sex, release guilt and shame, and learn to live a sexually empowered life filled with more confidence, connection, intimacy, and love. Thank you for joining me. So today we're going to jump on to a topic that I feel is extremely relevant when it comes to being able to find our pleasure in sex. And I'm going to talk about something that at first this is going to sound a little bit odd, but have you considered that the same reason that you hate salespeople just might be the same reason that you're having some feelings of resentment right now towards your partner? Now, let's explore this idea for a minute. I think most of us can agree, like, who likes salespeople? I don't think I've ever met anybody that is just totally thrilled when somebody comes knocking on their door at dinner time trying to sell them replacement windows or whatever the heck they're selling. So I want to look at this a little bit more in depth because I think this really has some relevant nuggets. And I'm going to break this down and tell you where I'm going with it, but just stick with me for a minute. So why do we hate salespeople? Well, we hate salespeople generally because most of us have a really hard time keeping our boundaries and saying no. So if you think about it, when that person shows up knocking at your door at dinner time, trying to get you to do something, maybe they're selling something or maybe they're just trying to get you to sign a petition, most of the time we feel a little bit awkward, right? Like the tendency is just to avoid or to just maybe even just go along and sit there and like hear their spiel out, right? Even though we're really annoyed and we really don't want to be giving them the time of day. So really what that comes down to is that it's really hard for many of us to say, hey, you know, I'm really not interested, but thanks, have a nice day, and close the door and go about our business, right? And there's a lot of reasons for that, and I'll get into that in a minute. Now, some salespeople are also super pushy, right? So if we're not strong in our capacity to say, hey, no thanks, or I'm good, have a nice day, what tends to happen is that many times we allow our boundaries to get pushed and we end up maybe caving in and giving in, maybe even in some cases saying yes or making a purchase that we didn't really want to make because we felt pressured into it, right? So that's certainly a dynamic that we run into out there in the world of sales, is that pushiness. But my point here is that if we're really strong in our capacity to really know ourselves and to be able to hold our own truth and hold our own boundaries and really be strong in our capacity to say no, like no thanks, you know, now is not a good time, or I'm not interested, but have a nice day, it really changes absolutely everything. And the ability to say no gives us that freedom to feel like we don't have to always be avoiding. Like, have you ever been at the grocery store and there's those people like kind of by the front door to the grocery store, and they're selling usually something like subscriptions to the newspaper or, you know, trying to get you to change your internet service provider. And when you walk past, you know that they're going to try to engage you in conversation. And if you respond to them, they'll usually ask you something like, how often do you read the newspaper? Or who's your internet service provider? And as soon as you give a direct answer to that question, they've got you roped in. The next thing you know, there's more questions being fired at you. And then maybe the next thing you know, like maybe you end up, just for the sake of getting out of the situation, like buying a newspaper subscription. Or what you do maybe is totally like go in a huge circle, like around their table as you're trying to get out the door, just to totally avoid the entire interaction. Right? So my point here is that when we have a hard time really being direct and really just owning and holding our ground and being able to say, hey, no thanks, hey, no thanks, and keep going, for example, it leads us to do other things such as avoid. Now, what on earth does this have to do with your relationship? And what does it have to do with sex? Why are we talking about salespeople on the Sex Talk Cafe? Okay, totally valid question. So I'm going to tell you why we're talking about this. Because the inability to say no, the inability to hold our ground and hold our truth and to honor that shows up all the time in relationship. And honestly, fundamentally, that difficulty with the ability to say no or to hold our boundaries leads to many of the feelings of resentment, frustration, and even guilt and self-sacrifice. Those things that we find ourselves in relationship that really inhibit and impede our ability to experience pleasure, joy, love, and to actually have more sex. What happens many times in relationships when we're unable to say no, many times we end up blaming the other person. So think about this for a minute. Somebody asks you to do something. You don't really want to do it, but you say yes anyway. Then the whole time you're doing that thing for them, inside your mind, you're angry, you're resentful, and you're blaming them. You're putting it on them. All right? So what ends up happening over time is that resentment builds and builds. And eventually you probably find that you're avoiding situations and conversations because you're afraid of kind of getting roped into doing something that you don't want to do. So you just avoid it, right? Is any of this sounding familiar? I know that everybody's done this at some point or another. I know that I have, and I've gotten a lot better at this one. But what ends up happening any time that we're avoiding a situation because we're afraid that we're not going to be able to navigate ourselves in that situation, this is actually not a true boundary. So what I mean by a true boundary, a true boundary is something that's conscious, it's something that's verbalized, and it's something that as an individual you completely honor. A boundary that's not a true boundary is something that's just done out of sort of unconscious reactivity or reaction, right? So many times, like, you might not even realize why you're avoiding a certain situation. You just know that you don't want to go there. Maybe you feel threatened by it, which is totally fine. So I'm not here to make anybody wrong for this. I'm just here to shed a little bit of light on what's actually underneath that behavior of avoidance. It's not a true boundary. You're stepping into sort of that knee-jerk reaction of, I don't know how to handle myself. I don't know how to stay in control. So instead of figuring that out, I'm just going to avoid. And sadly, what happens in intimate relationships when we do that around sex, I think the outcome is pretty obvious, right? Sex pretty much ends up, it doesn't happen as frequently as we like. Or when it does, you might find that you're just sort of giving in to your partner. You're self-sacrificing. You're leaving it up to them to decide whatever it is they want. And meanwhile, you're sitting there feeling more and more and more resentful. So at the root of this inability to say no, or these difficulties in finding those boundaries and holding them, ultimately is an unconscious guilt or feeling of unworthiness. So think about that for a minute, and I want you to think about a time, maybe recently or in the past, where you had a hard time saying no to something because you felt bad. Think about that for a minute. How often does that theme come up for you, where you give in to something because you feel bad for saying no, or because you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings? That, my friend, 100%. Is a choice that's motivated by guilt. That feeling of, ooh, if I say no, then I'm going to feel bad. That feeling bad, that's guilt. So anytime that you're giving into a request from that place of, I feel bad for saying no, so I'm just going to go ahead and go along with it just to try to be nice and not hurt someone's feelings, I'm going to tell you right now that you're not giving into this request because you're nice or you're being nice. You're doing it because you're trying really, really hard to not feeling those feelings of feeling bad. You're giving in because you don't want to feel that feeling of guilt that saying no would elicit in you. So any time that this is happening, this is where guilt is sort of unconsciously operating. And that's why I say guilt is really at the root of resentment. When resentment builds and builds in a relationship, many, many, many times it's because of this pattern. Because there's a point in time where you were actually a no, but you said yes. And what happens is over time is that goes on and on and on and on. You do that more and more and more and more. Again, that wall of resentment starts to build up. Now, I'm going to talk more about that wall of resentment in a minute, but I want to stay here on the topic of guilt for a little bit longer. Guilt is one of the sneakiest manipulators, and it's sneaky because many times we don't even realize how it's operating in our lives. So if you take this example around, you know, saying yes just because you feel bad, it really masks itself as kindness or even martyrdom. And martyrs are very, you know, that's an archetype that's really kind of exalted in a way, I think, in our culture, right? Like, oh, I'm going to sacrifice myself for the good of the greater good, for the good of all. But really, ultimately, underneath that, the core of that is that that giving is motivated from a self-serving place. It's actually not an unconditional giving, because what it's there for, we're giving from a place of trying to not feel guilt, to not feel bad. So it's actually guilt that's feeding the actions. Now, you will also start to notice that other people also use guilt to manipulate. It's really one of the most subtle ways that couples influence, what I'll use the word influence one another, but really ultimately it's manipulation. And one of the things I want to say about manipulation is that most of the time, many times we're not purposely or consciously trying to manipulate somebody. So a lot of people hear that word manipulation and they think, but it wasn't, you know, it's not really manipulation because I wasn't doing it intentionally. Well, you know, there's two types of manipulation. There's the kind that's outright intentional, where I know that I want something, so I'm going to be kind of sneaky to get you to do this thing I want you to do. That's almost worse, actually. And then there's this other unconscious form of manipulation, largely founded on the use of guilt. The using guilt to get the other person to do something, trying to make them feel bad so that they'll do the thing that you want to do. And many, many times this manipulation through guilt, it happens very subtly and very unconsciously in relationships. Now, if you're susceptible yourself to being susceptible to your own guilt, meaning you feel bad for saying no, so you give in a lot, or maybe you don't even know what your boundaries are, so you just kind of go along with things because the thought of trying to figure out what you want is so overwhelming, you are also going to be highly susceptible to being manipulated by other people through the use of guilt. And because you're so familiar with this place of feeling bad and giving in, what tends to happen is you don't even realize that that's what's going on, that other people are actually either intentionally or unintentionally trying to push that button of guilt inside of you in order to get what they want. So that's why I think that this topic is actually so important and so fundamental, particularly when it comes to sex and relationship. So how does this show up, and what does this look like in sex and relationship? Well, I've already touched on this a little bit, but I'll go over a few more points here. Not knowing what you want. I just said that one a minute ago, but this one is so huge. And I run into this so frequently, particularly in my work with women and women's sexuality. Leaving everything up to your partner to figure out whatever you want. I'll just go along with it. And then resenting your partner for that. All right, so feeling overwhelmed even maybe when someone asks you, so, hey, like, what do you want or what do you like? Feeling totally overwhelmed by that question to the point where maybe you even just totally freeze up and, like, don't even have an answer other than, well, yeah, like, whatever, I'm good with whatever. Does that sound familiar? What about feelings of resentment? Again, so if you are finding yourself in a situation right now in your relationship where there's a lot of resentment, where you're really angry at your partner, I want to invite you to sort of take to heart what I'm sharing with you. Are there areas where you are actually not showing up? Are there fully, where you're not showing up fully? What I mean by that, are there areas where you're not identifying your own boundaries and where you're not actually holding and honoring those boundaries? This will show up a lot of times in overgiving, like feeling like you're overgiving. Like, why do I give so much and I never get anything back from my partner? Largely, this is a pattern inside of you. This is like the pattern of self-sacrifice. Again, that martyr archetype. I'm just going to keep giving and giving and giving and giving, because giving, sometimes that pattern of overgiving, again, is a way to not have to feel vulnerable and also to not have to feel bad by saying no. So we default many times into that. I'm just going to give because I don't really know what I want to receive and I feel bad for receiving. Right? Maybe there's some feeling that I feel selfish or I feel bad for receiving attention, so I'm just going to give. Another common way this shows up is giving into sex, even when you don't feel like it, just to keep your partner happy. And we already know where that leads. Resentment. Or again, that classic habit of avoiding sex altogether, or even avoiding talking about sex altogether, because you don't have any idea how to negotiate anything different. You might find yourself in a situation right now in your sexual relationship where you know that things are not working. Maybe they're only getting worse, or maybe they're sort of stagnating, but you have no idea how to change the situation or negotiate anything different. So you're just avoiding it altogether. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever been there? I know that I've been there. And I know many of my clients are in that place, which is why, of course, they seek help from me. Now, let's talk about the wall. And no, I'm not talking about the Pink Floyd album. I'm talking about the wall of resentment. The wall of resentment that is the result of this buildup of the inability to say no, the lack of access to your own desire, to really knowing what it is that you want, which leads, when we know what we want and we're clear in what we want and what we don't want and what we will or will not do, that's actually how we start to define our boundaries. So if we're not clear on what we want or don't want, and we're overwhelmed with that question, right there is a sign that very likely, you know, there's no boundaries to actually have or even to honor or even to protect. So fundamentally, the work comes down to beginning to touch in with yourself and learning to access your wants and your desires and your limits, what you're willing or not willing to do or experience, right? This is how we start to break down this wall of resentment. Because when you're in the wall of resentment, here's some ways to tell. You feel isolated. You feel lonely, even though you're in a relationship, possibly. You feel like you're not enough for your partner. There's feelings of separation, strong feelings of frustration, and maybe even anger. And then many times more guilt and more beating yourself up, which just continues this cycle. And the wall of resentment, when we're in that place, there is usually zero desire to be sexual with your partner because we're so holding on to these feelings and this frustration and the blame. A lot of times inside of resentment is that blame on the other person, right? Because if we kind of backtrack here, how that wall got there in the first place was by our inability perhaps to say no, to hold our boundaries, to even have boundaries, to know what we want, to have boundaries, to stand up for those boundaries by saying no. And when we don't do that, we feel like we're overgiving and we're not getting anything back. And so we get angry at our partners for that. Like somehow they're just selfish, right? But really, if you want to break this pattern down, you have to understand your responsibility in the creation of it, how that wall got there. Because I'll tell you the truth is that your partner did not put the wall there. All right. Yes, through the relating and through the relationship, that wall started to grow and maybe became very thick and very rigid. But your partner didn't actually put it there. You put it there as a way to protect yourself. And the building up of a wall of resentment, while it does provide some temporary protection, in a sense, the wall, again, is actually, it's not a true boundary. Anything that's hard and rigid, there's really only one outcome for that. It's going to break. It's going to be broken. And that's either going to show up as you feeling betrayed or abandoned, one of those things. Right? So the work is really about bringing down that wall of resentment and coming into a place of softness and receptivity where you're actually able to speak your truth, where you're able to know what your boundaries are and own your no. Because here's the thing, if you cannot say no, if you don't know how to really be strong in that and to be able to do it in a way where it's really self-honoring, then anytime that you say yes, that yes actually is not trustable. And why, think about that for a minute and why that is. If you're somebody who says yes a lot, but actually you really mean no, how can anybody trust your yes? So, you know, trust is a huge issue in sexual relationships and in relationships in general. And it's a big, big, big aspect, particularly in women's sexuality, of really being able to surrender and to open and to expand into states of more pleasure, expanded orgasmic states, and really to a place where we feel like we are the embodied expression of love. Trust is a huge part of that. Trust, however, really starts with you. And it starts in this place of learning how to find your voice and how to say no. Then you know that when you say yes, that you're really a yes, because you've learned how to honor and love yourself enough to be able to say no. So the way out of this dynamic is to stop thinking your partner is going to do anything different and to start taking 100% responsibility for your own pleasure in the relationship, right? So if you look at it from that perspective, if you assume for a moment that you are 100% responsible for your pleasure and for your own experience in the relationship, a lot of things start to change. So this one thing right here will really, if you just really take that piece and think about that for a minute, if you were 100% responsible for the pleasure and the joy and the love in your relationship, what might you be doing differently? Now, the next piece is to get clear on your boundaries. And like I said a minute ago, is that, you know, it's going to be really hard. You can't, it's kind of like, well, how do I get clear on my boundaries? I don't even really know what boundaries are, right? So if you're somebody who has a hard time saying no because you feel bad, yeah, you're going to have a real hard time even knowing what boundaries are. So the way to get there, the way to start to identify your boundaries is to really start to slow down and just really in your own time, give yourself some time to start to really feel into what it is that you really desire for you. If nobody else mattered, if nobody else's wants or needs or desires mattered, what would you want just for yourself? So to make some time to just get totally selfish with yourself. And, you know, that could be done maybe even through journaling or perhaps in your meditation or prayer time. What do I want just for me? If I could want and have anything that I wanted, what would I want? And then, you know, once you're more clear on that and what you really want, then you can start to get more clear on, again, what are the things that you don't want or that you will not tolerate or that you're not willing to tolerate or put up with. You get clear also on that. That's actually how the boundaries start to get created, right? Then we have a very clear idea of where you begin and the other person, where you end and the other person begins. This is actually a practice of self-love. I know there's so much talk out there in the New Age world about self-love and self-compassion, but to be totally honest, self-love is a really radical and practical practice, and it's not really as easy for many people as it sounds. At least many of the women that I work with in my practice, this piece is really, really, really challenging. And I know from my own personal journey, I'm someone who has walked through this, by the way. I've been in many situations in my past where I didn't know what I wanted and I gave in to what my partner wanted and I ended up resentful. And it really wasn't until I learned about this piece very deeply and very clearly, the importance of self-love and self-honoring through being able just to say no. That's when everything started to change for me and so much more joy and pleasure began to open. I can put myself in many different types of situations with many different types of people and not feel afraid or threatened because I know myself so well and I've made a commitment to honoring my own boundaries and my own truth. So I know how to take care of myself. And that's really where self-love comes in. That's really the core of what self-love is. It's learning to take care of yourself. Because it's not enough to have boundaries or to know what your boundaries are. but then not actually hold them. So that's another thing too. We can identify what they are, but if you're not truly holding those boundaries for yourself, nobody else is going to do that for you. So if betrayal or abandonment are common themes in your life, then this is exactly where you want to start looking in order to change those patterns. If you find that that's showing up anywhere in your life on a consistent basis, or it's a pattern, or if it's a fear that you have, if you live with the constant fear that someone's going to betray you or that you're going to be abandoned, this is actually the exact place to look on a personal inner work level. Now, you have to also put it into practice. You have to start practicing honoring your boundaries by using your voice and saying no. And really, when you're working through patterns of this guilt and like feeling bad, because that's what you've always done, you've always kind of said yes, or you say yes a lot because you feel bad and you don't want to feel bad, and I feel bad, so that's why I do it, because I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Like, if that is your story, the only way out of that is to start to actually increase your capacity to feel bad every time you say no. And what I mean by that is increase your capacity to get comfortable with the discomfort. Because really what we're doing when we start to feel bad or we feel guilty and we go ahead and we go into action, like, I'm just going to do this thing, right? Because I feel so bad, I don't want to feel bad. Really all you're doing is you're just trying to discharge those bad feelings. You're trying to get rid of them. So the only way out is to put into practice saying no, and then increasing your ability to sit with yourself in those feelings that get triggered, to actually sit with the guilt and to vow that you're not going to take action just because you feel bad or because you feel guilty, to actually sit with that and feel more deeply into those feelings that arise. Increase your capacity to sit with that discomfort. That's actually the way out of this. All right, that's actually how we start to heal guilt. That's really how guilt starts to resolve, which is a wonderful thing, because when we can do that, when we can start to resolve the guilty feelings, and when we start to actually know what we want and what we don't want, and we can speak into that, when we find our voice and we learn to honor that voice, a whole new world opens in the realm of intimacy and relationship. But it's ultimately about this relationship that you're having within yourself and starting to recognize these unconscious patterns that are driving your choices and driving your behavior. And largely that's easier said than done. And most of us really need some help and some support actually getting there and really being able to really learn the skills that are required in order to start to resolve the guilt and bring down the wall of resentment and get back to that place of love and connection that's really truly available to us when we know how to do that inner work and get that inner game really, really becoming an embodied part of who we are. So I'd like to, on that note, invite you of a way to do that, a way to actually come into a container that I will be holding for your growth, and a way to actually go deeper on some of this, a way to go deeper on some of the teachings that I've shared with you today. I have an 8-week course called Wake Up Woman, How to Get in the Mood, Ditch the Self-Sacrifice, and Revive Your Relationship with Sex, Pleasure, and Intimacy, even if you're low libido or just plain too tired. So I'm opening up access to the VIP list if you'd like to be notified of when that course opens. I'm going to tell you in a minute how to do that. But really what I'm going to be doing in this course is helping you to get back in the driver's seat again, helping you be able to find your voice so that you can start to have more fun and freedom without feeling threatened or feeling like you have to do that whole avoid thing, like whether that's avoiding sex or other situations where you feel afraid to lose control. I'm actually going to teach you how to do some of this resolution of guilt and bringing down that wall of resentment. There's going to be a whole lot of inner work that we're going to do around that, because that's really the crux of it, right? We can learn techniques and tools and, you know, certain ways to have more orgasms, for example, which I'm going to teach you all that fun stuff too. But if you haven't done this inner work of actually the boundary work, finding your voice, learning how to come back into love when you're hiding behind the wall of resentment, then much of that other stuff actually, it will not feel satisfying or fulfilling. Right. And so that's, I think that in a way, that's really how I'm very different from a lot of other sexuality teachers out there. Like, more orgasms do not equal better sex, and they don't necessarily make us feel more connected to ourselves or to our partners or to life. So in this course, I'm going to really walk you through that, like how to actually do this inner work so that you have that inner connection to yourself first. And then you're going to get some of the really great stuff and how to communicate about sex and other things with a partner so that resentment never takes hold again. This course is going to be a ton of fun, and I'm super, super excited. It's really a complete education in your female sexuality, really so that you can start to experience more pleasure and more connection and more love on all these things that we really want. And it doesn't matter whether you've been in a relationship for 20 years or for 20 minutes. I will teach you how arousal works, what to do about mismatched libidos, how to work with your sexual energy to actually activate your arousal on your own terms. We will talk about orgasm. We're going to learn all about the different types of orgasm and really what's required and able to be able to experience more expanded states of pleasure and orgasm. I'm going to give you practices and tools to get you there, to help you get there. And I think just overall, you're going to enjoy more freedom and fun in your intimacy, which is really what I believe is the most important thing. I think that, you know, particularly as women, our desire is really for love and for connection. And it's why I'm so passionate about women's sexuality and helping women, because I can see that there is a very clear pathway. There's clear work that we can do as women on our own, within our own bodies and with our in our own psyche, that really can help us reorient towards what it means to be in love and towards what it means to be intimate, to the extent that then it becomes less dependent on your partner and less dependent on any partner. It's no longer outside yourself. Enrollment is opening for that very, very soon. So I'm going to invite you to get on the VIP list for that now. If you get on the VIP list now, you will be notified and get first dibs on my pre-launch bonuses. So you can do that right now by going to pathwaytopleasure.com and click on Wake Up Woman at the top of the page. So thank you so much for tuning in today, and I will see you next time. Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast series and sharing it with your community. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.